الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأمجدين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محاربا مقاربا مناصرا ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الدوام وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It's the 15th of the sacred month, and it is the birthday of our second Imam, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. Just some recap about the faith we have and the concept of Imamates, what exactly it is meant. One of the requirements, or the basic requirements for the Imam, is that he has to be divinely appointed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person doesn't become an imam by selection, by election. He has to be appointed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is notified by the imam before him. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He informed who his successor would be. And he clearly mentioned who the imams would be. He identified them until the 12th imam. And when it was the term, for example, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he informs clearly as to who his successor would be, who the imam after him would be. That is the same thing, same ruling applies to all of the prophets. The prophet who was serving, and when his term comes to an end, it is upon him that he informs who the next prophet would be after him. So that is first, that appointment of the imam is by Allah, is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In addition to that, he possesses ilm, knowledge. The knowledge which ma'sumeen possess, it is not acquired. It is granted to them. It is bestowed upon them by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now for you and for me, if we want to learn, we have to go to some institute, there we get to know. Colleges, universities, houses, whatever. We have to see a mentor, an ustad, a teacher. And slowly we get to learn things. For ma'asumeen, that is not the case. They are taught by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have numerous examples. One of them is Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. He is born, infant, bears witness, talks to the nation, and supports his mother. And there says that I am the prophet. To me a book has been given, and I have been made a Nabi. Wajalani Nabiya. The same thing is with all the other Ma'asumeen alayhi salam. We find that when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is born, he also bears witness and he also performs sajda. The same thing is with the 12th imam. Now the mother, Hazrat Najis alayhi salam, she says that when it was the aunt, she says that I saw that Najis, she is talking to someone and there wasn't anyone present in that room. And then she says, who are you talking to? I was talking to my baby who hasn't been born yet. Now what was that? She says that I said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The baby said, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. I said, Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. The baby from the womb says, Laylatul qadr khayrun min al-fishar. So one ayah she recited, the other ayah the baby recited who hasn't been born yet. So that is a special grace which is granted to ma'asumeen by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The knowledge which they have, it's given to them, it's bestowed upon them. The other thing is that we believe that the prophets have to be ma'soom. Imam has to be ma'soom. Now what does it mean ma'soom? We say it as an infallible. But what exactly does infallibility mean? We believe that from the day a prophet is born till the day he dies, no sin must be committed by this prophet. No sin great or small, no wrong. Any negative must not exist on his existence. Any evil should not be there. Any wrong must not be there. The same thing is with the Imams. From the day they are born, when there are other schools of thought, they say no, the Prophet also, they can, like every other person, can commit sins. Some of them say that from the day he becomes baligh, he must not commit sins. Before that, doesn't matter. Some say that even from the day he starts his mission, before that, if he has done anything wrong, doesn't matter. But from the day he has been appointed, from that day he has to be a good person. Some say regardless, even after being appointed a prophet, he can be like every other person. If he's done, that sins also can be committed. There are such horrible opinions, again, we find. But what we believe is that a prophet, an imam, who is ma'soom, ma'soom means from the day they are born until the day they die, no wrong must be committed by them. And if anything, even the smallest makruh, or which we tag as tarki awla, is committed by them, a punishment is seen by them in this world. As an atonement. Why? Because a huge, big assignment is being given to them, and based upon that assignment which is going to be given to them, Allah has a severe and a very strong quality control that nothing has to be done which is negative. Prophet Yunus, he was among those prophets who wasn't very successful. Not every prophet was successful. Some of them were very successful, like the Holy Prophet, performed all that magnificent service in the guidance of mankind. Some were unsuccessful, like Prophet Yunus. He invited but little invitation, and many, very little people, very few, they joined him. So he supplicates to Allah that Allah punish them. Allah says, okay, on such and such a day, this adab is going to arrive on them. For example, Tuesday, 12 p.m. Now what does Prophet Yunus do here? He packs up, for example, at 11 a.m. and leaves. Now here, for that very reason, he is punished for 30 years in the whales, in the fish's belly. Allah says, you knew that punishment, that adab is to arrive an hour from that time, for example. You being a waliullah, you must have been there. Maybe someone wanted to repent. And if he repented and if he came to you, you should have been there to save him. If you remember, day before yesterday it was mentioned that Prophet Musa prayed Qarun to be destroyed, that Allah arrives, and that night when Prophet Musa supplicates to Allah, Allah did not talk to him. Although he is Kareem Allah, that night Allah says, tonight I will not respond to your calls. I won't speak to you because you did not give notice to the repentance of my servant, of my creation, who is Qarun, who has stood against him. So from the prophets there is that very strong and severe quality control, quality check. So if there's any small mishap of that kind, there is an atonement they have to see here. Because a huge big assignment has been given to them, and based upon that, they have to be so precise and clear. Quran says, يُعَلِّمُهُمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. That is in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. That is, three duties have been assigned to Rasulullah. That is, he has to purify the nation, he has to teach them, he has to educate them. Now these three things, which the assignments that have been assigned to Rasulullah, does it mean that he has to be just a media player and just inform the other people? No. He has to apply the program onto himself first, and then he has to give the message to others. Now this message of tazkiyah, ta'aleem and tarbiyah came to Rasulullah from Allah. So Allah has to be pure first of all. Allah has to possess all that tazkiyah and purity. That ta'aleem has to be present in him. And then he can convey the message to Rasul. And Rasul has to possess them. And the basic criteria there is purity. Allah is pure. Rasul is pure. We find that the medium who brings forth the message from Allah to Rasulullah is Jibreel. So Jibreel also has to be pure. We can't just use any courier service to deliver an ayah from Allah to Rasulullah. No. Mata'in thamma ameen. Someone who is so pure, someone who is trustworthy, not a little flaw exists in him, has to be able to deliver this message from Allah to Rasulullah. So purity plays a role over there. Allah has to be pure, messenger Jibreel has to be pure, destination which is Rasulullah, he has to be pure in all aspects. From Rasulullah to the Imams, the same concept is there. That Imams also have to be pure because a divine message has been given to them. Now why do we say that this purity has to be present in Rasulullah? He must not forget anything, he must not do any wrong, he must not say, I don't know. He can't say, I don't know. If Rasulullah says, I don't know, means that the revelation, the message which Allah has given to him, the whole message will go under question. And we believe that Rasulullah, he never forgets. He doesn't say that, I forgot, I don't remember what it was. If that was the case, for example, from this Quran, out of these 6,600 odd ayah, we open the Quran and if we have that idea and that faith that Rasulullah, he forgot, for example, on a few occasions. If I open the Quran, the first thing that would come to my mind is that maybe this is that ayah where Rasulullah had forgotten or that message wasn't delivered right. If I turn the page, no, it may not be this one, it may be the other one, it may be the other one. So that doubt will just continue in the entire book and this book becomes doubtful. But that's not the case. It says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That we have revealed this book, this remembrance, and we will protect it. That protection on Allah's side is there. Protection has to be there even from the Rasulullah's side. That he, from the first day of his life, till the last day of his life, he protects this deen, this book, that wahi, all of it to the best. Now that purity is required from Allah, from Jibreel, from Rasulullah, destination being the Imam. The Imams also got the message and they conveyed the message. Now from the Imam, he has conveyed the message, for example, to us. And it is upon us that this message which Allah has given and to which so much of investment, a huge investment, 124,000 prophets. Don't know how many awliya Allah. We don't know how many muballighin. So much of blood was shed so that this message is preserved. So there is a huge big investment in that. Now if this message has come to us, it is wajib on us to convey this message from us to the next generation. So, all the way through we found purity was there. If I and you were the destination today, and we will be the source to continue that to another destination, that purity is required in us as well. It says, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Allah recites, Rasul recites, Imam recites, we who will be giving this message forth, we have to recite these ayah. He was the pure, Jibreel was pure, Rasul was pure, Imam was pure, destination where the pure hearts of the ulama, they were pure. We who have to continue the message, that purity is required in us as well. So purity plays a very important factor in this thinking. Now, for example, message has reached us and we have to convey the message to the next generation. How do we do that? Or even for the basic recitation of Quran, the teaching is that Tahiru afwahakum fa innaha turuqul Quran. Says you have to keep your mouths clean. Why keep your mouths clean? Because they are the path, the way from where the channel, from where end these ayat of Quran are being recited. Because Quran is pure, that mouth which wants to recite Quran has to be pure. That is, that mouth shouldn't be talking trash, garbage. That mouth shouldn't be consuming haram. Because the ayat of Quran are being uttered from that mouth. We have this hadith there during the time of our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam. A person, he ghusl was wajib on him and he had to perform that ghusl. He had a question to ask from the Imam and he was informed that Imam would be leaving the town very soon. He said, ghusl is wajib on me and I can do it till Maghrib, I've got quite a lot of time. But if I do the ghusl and go to Imam, I won't see the Imam, I'll miss him and that question of mine will be pending. So I'll go to the Imam, ask him first and then when I come back, I'll perform ghusl. He, in that state of najasa, he comes to Imam's house, knocks the door, Imam opens the door and he says, I've got a question. Imam says, you want to come to us? First, taharat. Without taharat, you can't come to us, to Masumi. That taharat is required that you find in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. That is, when you want to recite Quran, that taharat is required. When you want to come to Masumin, taharat is required. If you want to go to the shrine of an Imam, that taharat is required. In the state of najasa, the person cannot even enter the shrine of an Imam. So these etiquettes have to be observed, that even that taharat, which is the general zahiri taharat of an individual house, has to be observed. When it is to the recitation of Quran, says Tahiru afwaakum fa innaha turuqul Quran, that keep your mouths clean because they are the channels from wherein these ayat of Quran will be recited. Or for example, Quran says Wailum lil musallim, woe be on those who say their prayers. Now why does that, someone who is saying his prayers, what woe is that? What wrong has he done? He's doing something good. Prayers wherein the mood and the manner of an individual is not present, those prayers are nothing, will be dumped onto our heads and our faces thrown. So that is required. Hatta ta'alamu ma taqulu. Now this ayah, normally it is for the hukum of those who are a bit drunk and they want to come towards prayers. The teaching is that they cannot come towards prayers unless they know what they are talking. But here it doesn't mean that you and me, we don't drink. Does it mean that ayah doesn't apply to us? It applies even to us. That is, when you are standing in worship before Allah, you must be in your senses so that you know what exactly you are saying. If you are not in your sense, then you don't know what you are saying. Then the same rule applies here. That is, these prayers will be dumped onto our faces. So that ismat which we talk about, that ma'soom is infallible, means that no negative exists in their existence. They never sin, they never do wrong, they never forget. Whatever is asked from them, they know. Ilm is something which is given to them. Now in this ismat which we say, being of an infallible, now to understand this in very simple words, someone who doesn't know what right and what wrong is, for example, if you have a boiling glass of water and you've got a regular glass of water, and if he doesn't know the difference between the two and drinks the boiling water and hurts himself, so he did not have that knowledge. Someone who knows the difference between hot and cold, he will be careful. He will say that, yes, that's going to hurt me, so I will not touch. So he knows something to a small fraction. That little bit of knowledge which he has is that very minute ismat which he possesses. It's not in you and me, it's that knowledge that Allah has given to us, that aql which Allah has given to us, that intellect which He has given to us. The more the intellect, the better we will be able to move within those rights and wrongs. Ma'soom, he possesses that intellect multiplied by infinity, a huge big number. That aql which is multiplied by infinity is ismat. It doesn't mean that it's something which has been divinely given to them. No, ismat, they have to protect it themselves. Ayat and riwayat, what they teach us is that, for example, if you look into Quran, that says that the wives of the Prophet, teaching is that they are not like every other woman. Allah says, because you are the wives of the Prophet, whatever you would do, you will get a double share of reward. Why? Because you are the wife of the Prophet. And then he says, if you do anything wrong, you will get two punishments. Every other person will get one punishment. You will get two punishments. Why? Because you are the wife of the Prophet. So someone to whom Allah has given that status and rank, that reward and punishment is also justified with that position. Or for example, every other person may be forgiven. Hadith says, 70 sins of a random regular person will be easily forgiven before one sin of an alim is forgiven. Why is that? Because he knows what deen is, he knows what right and wrong is. If he does wrong, then Allah will not easily accept from him. So, if a reward is being given there, he says, a severe check is also there. A severe control is there. So, ismat is the same. And we find that whenever prophets, they had done any tarqir Allah, for example, Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. One of the reports that we have, it says that Prophet Yusuf, when he had become the ruler of Egypt, the first person in town, and after 40 years of separation from his father, the father finds out that his lost son is Yusuf, who has become the head of state now. And now the son also is notified that after 40 years of separation, the father is coming to Misr, to Egypt. Now being the king and observing all the formalities, he also goes to welcome his father. Now not like every other person, he was on a horseback. Now father coming from a distance, he was on foot. Hadith says that as Prophet Yusuf, with his delegation, with those formalities that were being observed, was heading towards his father on that horseback, and father is coming from there to his son on foot, there a radiant light appears and comes to his palm, and then ascends quickly towards the skies. Prophet Yusuf says, what was that? Jibreel says, Nuzi'at al-Nubuwwatu 'an aqabik, that Nubuwwah has been taken away from your progeny, and none of your sons will ever be a Nabi, a Prophet. He says, why, what did I do? Says, because of that disrespect you showed to your father. Your father was on a raised, you were on a raised position, and your father was on foot. For that reason, that Nubuwwah is taken away from you, and none of your sons and your progeny will ever be a Prophet. So that check is there. That strict quality control is there from the Prophets. So that infallibility, that ma'rifah, that knowledge which Allah has given to them. So three conditions for an imam, for a ma'soom. First of all, ilm is divinely given to them, not that they need to study. Ismat they have to possess. And the rank, the position which they have, it's divinely appointed by Allah. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Questions, and then we talk a little bit about the topics that we were continuing. First of all, it's these reminders regarding taharats. We've got an issue called cleanliness, we've got another issue called taharat, tathir. For example, if my hand gets wounded, I can clean it with a tissue, the blood is gone, it's clean. but it's najis. To make it tahir, it needs to be washed. Until and unless water is applied to that place, it will be najis. So if it is najis, although it's clean and dry, I cannot say my prayers. For prayers, the taharat is required. There's an issue, cleanliness. The other issue is taharat, which all of you know. But this is just some reminder. Now what happens, many of times here in the Western world, we have all these cleaners. We call them to clean our houses. Now can we just trust them blindly? We can't. Because they don't know what taharat is. They know only cleanliness, how to clean places. Now what, and I've been an eyewitness to many of you, and I'd love to see how these room services, housekeeping people, they clean up. Once I was invited to a place and they said, this is the guest house, you can be here. Just like, for example, 10, 11 o'clock, these cleaners will come to clean the place and they have the keys, they will open, clean, and they'll leave. I said, okay. I was waiting. A van comes, a few cleaners, they come out with all their tools, mops and brooms and what and what not. Quickly, within 10 minutes, they clean the place. And it was quite a big place. They had these detergents, disinfectants, emptied it in the toilet bowl. With that mop, he dips that mop in that toilet bowl and disinfects the entire toilet, all of it. He cleaned it. And then with the same mop goes into the kitchen. I called the host and said, please, I want to leave this place now. So he was doing the job, that is cleaning. But that is not acceptable for us. If you have cleaners coming to your place, tell them this is what is required. Don't use the same sponge which is being used in the toilet bowl everywhere else. All the tools and sponges that need to be used in the toilet has to be there and not to be used anywhere else. So give them those instructions and only then those rules of taharat will be applied. We can't just blindly accept anything from anyone, especially if you want to bring them to your home. It's the birth of Imam al-Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. In a hadith says that Inna al-Hasan ibn Ali salamullahi alayhi kana a'bad al-nas fi zamanih. That Imam al-Mustafa, like every other Imam, he was the most pious person on land during his time. The most pious, the best in every virtue, the best in every character in Allah. We normally, that is the general practice, and in all of the languages, that is, we cry for Allah, the Allah has said more, and many of the Aimma, they are even mazloom in this aspect. Marhum Ayatullah Mirza Jawadah Malik Tabrizi, who is among the asatim of many of these mentors who have passed away, among them is Marhum Imam Khomeini. He says he was among the reciters at Tehran. He recites a majlis and the Masail of Abdullah Hussein. That night, Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, she comes into his dreams and says that, as a complaint, you recited for my son Hussein, you did not recite for my son Hassan. Mazlumiyat of Imam al-Mujtaba is far more in the aspects. We have riwayat when Abu Abdullah Hussein says that I cry for my brother Hassan more than anyone because of the oppression. He saw, maybe no other Imam saw. He lived in a house, in a dwelling place with his own killer at home. He was killed in that brutal way by his own wife, who everyone trusts the most. So that is that oppression, that mazlumiyat of the Imam. And when the body is being taken to be buried, we find that mazlumiyat and the oppression to this Imam is such that the body is shot. They wanted to bring that body to be laid to rest in Masjid al-Nabi because of the insult which these mala'in showed, it was taken to Baqi where it was laid to rest. So that is the mazlumiyat we have for Ahlul Bayt, all of them, all five of them, all like that. One of the questions we have here is that, and we talked on this issue, many hints were mentioned and given, that why is it that we say that the reward of our actions be dedicated to Masumeen? On the first day it was mentioned, second day it was mentioned that this fast that we are observing, dedicate it to Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Is it not as such that Masumeen, they are perfect, they have everything, and we are more in need? If we are more in need of these good actions of ours, then why do we need to give it to them when they don't need them? Now the reason why we say that it is that we should give all the actions and amal to them, it's because when amal are given to Masumeen, definitely they don't need. They are the distributors themselves. They attract all the mercy and favors from Allah and they distribute it to us. So definitely they don't need. And if we do give any of our actions to them, it is not as such that they become mabrur and in debt to us. No, they don't become in debt to us as well. The reason why we give it to them, it's because the good actions that we do, when we give it to them, that action grows in a beautiful way. Grows into many, many folds. Hadith says, Sayyid ibn Taus, he says that now Sayyid ibn Taus is among those great ulama who recognizes the voice of the Imam, Imam al-Asr. He says that, for example, if you offered a 2-rakat mustahab prayer and you dedicated the reward of that to the Prophet, and if that was not dedicated, you would just get a 2-rakat prayer reward, whatever that on the shelf value of it is. But when you give it to Ma'asum, to Rasulullah, and say that this action is dedicated to you, presented to you, here Zaydul Taus says that the endless reward of that 2-rakat prayer which was presented to Rasulullah is so much that breaths cannot count the reward of that. Now a person, he comes to Imam al-Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam and says that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, now he was performing tawaf. Says, when I performed the tawaf, I started as such. And this is also another good habit that inshallah, if you are blessed in, to perform a umrah or hajj, perform 14 tawafs for 14 ma'asumeen. Now this person, he says that what I do is that I perform a tawaf for Rasulullah. Then I perform a tawaf. One tawaf is 7 rounds. And then I perform a tawaf for the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then for each one of the Prophet Imams. And now I offer this tawaf for you, for Imam al-Qasim. Imam says, continue, that is very good. Another person, he comes to Imam Jawad alayhi salam, says the same thing, says that I recite Quran, and when the recitation of Quran is complete, I dedicate that Quran for the Prophet. The second Quran to Zahra, third, and this 10th Quran which I have recited, the reward of that is dedicated to you. And Imam in reply says that if you do so, you will be raised with, and we, and you will be with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, just for that dedication of that sawab. The other thing which we benefit from this, now why does this happen? If you recall your memories, the story of Imam al-Mustafa giving a flower to that maid, and the maid giving a flower to him, and he frees her in the way of Allah. That is the teaching which we find from Quran, that إِذَا حُيِّيْتُمْ بِالْتَحِيَّةٍ, that if someone says, greets you, you have to greet him in a better way, or at least the same greeting has to be returned. And when Ma'asum was inquired about this tahiyya, it doesn't mean it is only greeting like salamun alaykum. Imam says, any good you do, that will be paid back, that must be paid back in a beautiful way. Now we just said that Ma'asumeen, they are taught by Allah. Now this concept, إِذَا حُيِّيْتُمْ بِالْتَحِيَّةٍ, they know. So if some good is presented to them, that good is multiplied and returned back to us in a much better and a more beautiful way. Now all these things are being mentioned because we are preparing towards the Akhirah and also preparing towards the Dayali of Qadr, and Allah make it as such that we become slightly better before observing the A'mal of Laylatul Qadr. And this is seen in the du'as that we have. For example, in the du'a from Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam says that Allahumma rizukni tajafa an dar al-gurur, that is, wal inabata ila dar al-khulud, that we are in a zone which is perishable, which is unlimited, and we are heading off to a zone, a phase which is unlimited. So preparations are required, ammunitions are required, something which is heavy and weighty is required so that we can survive in the hereafter. And for that survival, the more dedication we have towards Masumeen, the more we will survive. The other benefit of dedicating the reward of A'mal to Masumeen alayhi salam is that that bond of us, of ours towards them, that increases. That when I dedicate the sawab of a namaz to him, it means that it's out of my love that I have towards them, that mahabbat to Masumeen that has made me dedicate the sawab of whatever the good. And in addition to that, when we have Masumeen connected to our A'mal, performance also becomes better. Now to understand this in simple words, for example, if the sponsor of iftar of today was someone and he wants to bring the iftar, what we do is that we try to bring the best to the majlis because it is the iftar of Mu'mineen. And it may so be that the person who is providing this iftar, he will or she will be in taharat, with wuzu, in wuzu, she will observe all of the cooking, cleaning, packing, so that that special essence and fragrance of wilayat is blown and enhanced into that iftar, that Mu'mineen benefit. So someone who has done that with all that purity, and if he or she presents this preparation of iftar to Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi, will that not magnify? Will that not multiply? That is the teaching, that multiplication is there, and that purification is also there, and the reward also, it multiplies by many folds. Marhum Ayatullah Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, one of his students, he wrote a book, and as it is the etiquette and adab, that they bring the book and show it to the ustad first, before it is printed. And then he says, how was the book? Ustad says, book is good. I read the foreword, that is the muqaddama. And then you have dedicated all the reward of the book for yourself. Why have you been so bakhil? Why such a miser? That we have to be large in our intentions. Says that you could have dedicated the sawab of that to many, to the Prophet, to Ma'asumeen, not to yourself. That is being bakhil. Hadith says, a person comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, and inquires about Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is among those beautiful ayat of Quran which has the Ism-e-Azam embedded in it. Ism-e-Azam is that secret. What exactly it is? It's not words, it's not symbols, it's not character. It's not a character, but it is the word of Allah which is hidden in there. Imam says that if you recite one Ayatul Kursi, for example, I recited an Ayatul Kursi for a marhum. Here says that for that one recitation of that one Ayatul Kursi, Allah will create a malak, an angel, who will ask for forgiveness for that marhum, and that malak will seek forgiveness for you until the day of judgment, only for that recitation of one Ayatul Kursi. And then he says that what if we have multiple beneficiaries for that reward of that Ayatul Kursi? Says regardless, If I intend that one ayat al-Kursi that I am reciting is for all mu'mineen and all mu'minats, the first who came into existence and the last who will come into existence, for example, 100 billion mu'mineen, and I intend them and recite this one ayat al-Kursi, say, yes, all of them will benefit, all of those angels will be created, and all of them will glorify and praise you and seek forgiveness for you as well. So when we can invest with a larger return in that way, then why don't we invest? We have got this light, these lights on here. If we have one person sitting under these lights, he will benefit. If we have 1,000 people in this hall, all of them also will be benefiting from that same light. The same thing is this, in these fields of spirituality. We must not be bakhil, that we are here, we recite, just reciting and dedicating to one specific person or one specific family, it's being, we are undermining the reward or losing a huge big reward we can earn much more. May Allah, the Barak of Allah, in these nights of the sacred month of Ramadan, help us understand and know ourselves. Ya Allah, reduce the distance between us and you. The love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that we have, the honor that we have towards them, between us, Quran and Ahlul Bayt, never ever come a separation, even for a moment. May that be in this dunya, barzakh or beyond. Ya Allah, protect our children, they be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Ya Allah, we be enlisted among the true supporters and servants of Imam al-Asri, all those in an ailing for their shifa, especially those present in this majlis, all those who have hopes for their hopes to be granted, all those who have passed away, Ya Allah, in this month of mercy, elevate them, forgive them, and grant them higher and higher ranks in the hereafter. Muslims worldwide, Allah protect them. And the enemies of Islam and Muslims worldwide, wheresoever they are, Allah clean the surface of this earth by their presence. Wa'ajjal bi kharaji Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman.